White Rocket Entertainment.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Comics with Normies. This is your host, Jared Albrick, a.k.a. the Yard Sale Artist, bringing you another fun-filled episode of Comics with Normies. Now on this show, we take a friend from my personal life who doesn't really read comics, has limited exposure to comics. I give them a random comic that I found at a yard sale. They agree for some odd reason or other to actually read through this. And do my bidding, if you will, read the comic and give us their thoughts. So we get a real outsider's look into the world of comics that we all know and love. And for this episode, we have my friend and neighbor, the lovely Joy. So welcome to the show, Joy.
Thank you very much.
Joy, do us all a favor and tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself.
My name is Joy. I am a mother of two. I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. Been married 21 years.
Seems like longer.
21 years. Yeah, 21 years. That's right. And I work for Enterprise City Schools.
That's my neighbor, Joy. She's very sweet. I may end up getting her husband that she mentioned of 21 long, long years on this episode as well, though I don't know how much comics he reads. He's had comics. I looked at comics, but I don't know if he actually...
He still has comics in the attic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did he read when he was younger?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But he doesn't read now. He probably hasn't read in years. He might be a good candidate for the show. We'll keep you posted on that one, folks. So that is Joy. Like I said, she's very sweet. She's, like she said, she's a mother of two, 13 and 15.
Girls,
yeah. Good luck with that. Okay. Good luck. All right, Joy. Now we're moving into the interview portion of the show. We're going to focus in on comic books. So what comic book reading experience did you have before I gave you today's issue?
Very little. I have read The Walking Dead and Lock and Key. Those are the only two I have read.
Well, if you're going to only read two, you know, Walking Dead is wildly popular. Lock and Key is excellent. Joy and I, we have a common love of Stephen King, and for those of you who don't know, his son, Joe Hill, he writes the Lock and Key series. His son is also extremely talented, so that kind of brings me and Joy together. Did I introduce you to Lock and Key, or was that the other way around? I can't remember. One of us introduced the other one to Lock and Key.
You introduced it to me.
Okay.
Yes.
And so I'm kind of like a neighborhood drug dealer, I guess, when it comes to comics. First one's free.
In a good way.
Yeah. She, it's funny because I gave her, or put her on to issue one. Did I give you issue one? Because I think I ended up with two copies of it, or volume one of Lock and Key.
Yes, you did. You did give me
the first one. And I just finished volume one myself. And I'm like, okay, I look forward to the rest of the volumes. And she's already finished every single volume.
No, that's funny because I read the first one and I literally went on Amazon and looked for the set and bought it.
There you go.
And had it within a couple of days.
It's that good?
Just read it up real quick.
It is that good. It's a good series, and I'm glad you were into it. And now, she was into Walking Dead well before I got my hooks into her. Now, did you, like most people, did you find the comics through the TV show?
Yes.
Okay. So, you were really into the show, found out that there was comics involved, and then sought those out.
Went from there, yes.
Yeah, I think that's how it works for a lot of people. You know, it's like a badge of honor if you're a Walking Dead fan. You're like, well, I started with the comics.
Right, yeah. I can't claim that badge of honor.
So. That's all right, though. I was aware of the comics and I had read a little bit of it, but it was the show that pulled me in.
Yeah.
Like, I really read the comics every now, but it's because of the show.
I was
tangentially into them before, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. Today's comic we are going to intro, if you wouldn't mind. She's going to hand it right over to me. We are doing a fairly obscure comic. We are doing The Creeper, DC Comics The Creeper. He had a 6-issue miniseries back in 2006, and I dropped poor Joy here right into the middle with issue 3 of 6. This was, as usual, a yard sale found comic. It is the December 2006 issue of The Creeper. So, that begs the question, what were you doing in December of 2006?
Let's see, I had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I remember we just got our pool. We just got our pool put in the backyard, and I remember trying to teach them how to swim.
Now, a lot of our listeners are probably like, you were trying to teach two little girls how to swim in December of 06. And I'll remind you, we live in Alabama.
Exactly.
And it's perfectly normal to have a swim day in December.
Shorts and flip-flops, for sure.
In Alabama.
Yes.
So this has nothing to do with the comic, but you had, what, you had a 5 and 3, and now they're 15 and 13.
Right.
Which is easier?
Oh, gosh. The 3 and 5.
The 3 and 5.
The older they get, the harder it gets.
That's bad news for me, because yes. You know, I got a 10-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I get it's all coming my way. So that is, once again, December 2006. This is, we're talking about DC's The Creeper, number 3 of the 6-issue miniseries. We will really get into taking a look at that when we come back from this podcast promo break.
Are you a fan of Doctor Who? How about comics? If you're a fan of both, then Doctor Who Panel to Panel is for you. This podcast looks in-depth into the long history of Doctor Who comics, from the 1960s kid-friendly strips to today's present comics from Titan Comics and Doctor Who magazine. I review stories old and new, featuring classic Doctors like Tom Baker and John Pertwee, to the 12th Doctor himself, Peter Capaldi. I also interview the creators behind the stories, from authors such as Paul Cornell to artists like John Ridgway and Lee Sullivan. I also talk to production people such as Titan Comics editor Andrew James and Doctor Who magazine editor Tom Spilsbury about their career and work on these great comics. Check out Doctor Who Panel to Panel on iTunes, Facebook, and download episodes direct from DoctorWhoComics.com.
All right, welcome back from the break. I hope you seek out and find whatever promo that was that you just listened to. That's right. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but it's got to be good because Joe and I only pick the best ones.
Yay, yay!
So we're back. We're talking about DC's The Creeper, number 3 of 6 from their miniseries from 2006. We're talking with the lovely Joy, my friend and neighbor, and she, for some reason, agreed to actually go into this insanity with me, and we're going to talk about the issue itself. Now, Joy's not exactly at a disadvantage here because I didn't really read a lot about the Creeper either back in the day. I tangentially aware of him. Basically, when I gave this to Joy, I said, all I know about the Creeper is that his real name is Jack Ryder, and he kind of looks like a weird Joker-looking character. That's all I really know about him. I'd seen him around in a couple of other comics when I was younger. Didn't have much on it. So for this issue, number 3 of 6... Creeper from DC Comics, December 2006. Joy's going to give us her best story recap of what happened in the book. Take it away, Joy.
Okay. So, in the beginning, we've got Batman talking to Axeman, I guess one of the other villains. Is that his name?
I think his name was Axeman. I got nothing on Axeman either.
Yeah, because there's a whole list of, like, villains in the beginning.
Yeah, I was just really happy to see Batman show up because I'm like, oh, good, a character I can identify
with. I was surprised to see him when I opened it up. Yes, that's me too. I was there with you. So he finds out about the Creeper. The Axeman tells him about the Creeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows, okay, Creeper's out. I've got to find him. Then, let's see. I don't know how to explain who the Creeper is fighting. I don't.
Yeah, it kind of smash cuts into, like, Creeper's, like, in the middle of this heated battle.
And I don't know how to explain. It's like a blob.
It's like a real, yeah, like, muscular monster blob giant thing. Hard to describe.
Right.
Pretty well drawn.
Yeah, just, very well drawn. I just can't describe really what he is.
He's just a really big, we'll call him big monster blob.
So we have the Creeper, who I think is really cool when he's fighting with himself, Jack Ryder, talking to each other in his own, I guess, in his head.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know if it's in his head or is he actually speaking?
I get the feeling.
Back and forth?
Yeah, I get the feeling. I could see that it'd be very confusing for a new reader, but she caught on quick on this because, of course, we talked about it a little bit before recording. Yeah, they have like an interior discussion. It's very reminiscent of Firestorm or Captain Marvel from the Peter David run over at Marvel. It's like two people that share space and they can swap out, as I think we'll see later in the story. But yeah, so he's basically arguing with himself or discussing with himself while he fights the blob monster in creeper form.
Right, and the blob monster is also speaking as well. But what I gathered is, from reading a little bit further, that this blob is a teenager.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
So he has very little, you know, words that he's using when he's attacking the creeper. He's not saying a whole lot, but he is talking. And they're talking about this Dr. Yats. I'm assuming that had something to do with why the creeper is the way he is. Or Jack Ryder, I should say.
Or maybe why the blob teenager is the way he is.
Yes, because there is dialogue where he's saying, you know, take it easy on the kid. This is Jack Ryder and Creeper going back and forth talking to each other and saying, take it easy on the kid. He's a victim of Dr. Yats.
Just like we are.
Evidently, I don't know why they're fighting, but it has something to do with Dr. Yats.
That Dr. Yats is going to be the bad guy of this storyline. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. So I think he, and towards the middle, it looks like he's kind of, I don't know if you would say kill, but he's attacking this blob character, and he kind of goes off into the ocean, I'm assuming, because there's a picture of the ocean.
Does the creeper go off, or does the blob guy go off? Oh, yeah, he defeated the blob.
He defeated the blob, but he said he's going to be back. He said you might not want to turn around, Jack.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too. He just kind of, like, wandered off towards the ocean.
Really, I wasn't sure what happened to him.
Is that the part where Jack Ryder takes back control of the body?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my best guess there, Joy, is that he defeated the blob monster, and he's kind of taking a moment of pause and reclaiming his more calm, natural self. And how's that work out for him?
It doesn't work out for him at all, because he needs the creeper back.
And why does he need the creeper back?
Because the blob looks like he got stronger.
Yeah.
And he came back bigger and meaner with more teeth.
Hey, I don't know anything about that blob monster either, but he reminded me kind of the Hulk, because it was like he got bigger and stronger as he...
Well, he did say, you know, the more skin I eat, the bigger I get, right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Gab, eat your skin. That's what he said.
I'm the same way with Taco Bell. The more I eat, the bigger I get.
So anyway, this blob thing comes back bigger, and the creeper is gone. Now it's just Jack Ryder. And Jack is saying, you know, I need you, creeper. I need you to come back because...
Big scary blob monster.
This guy's going to kill me. So they're fighting back and forth, and he's telling him, you know, say you need me. So the creeper finally does come back, and I think he finally does defeat the blob. That's the way I took it, anyway.
It was a pretty good tussle between Creeper and the Blob
Monster.
Lots of good action stuff. I mean, we'll get into that when we talk about the artwork, but there's a lot of really cool action stuff. And then he ends up, let's see, the Blob Monster actually puts a pretty good body slam on Creeper, and then we cut over to Jack Ryder's ex-girlfriend at the TV station,
right,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I found her to be pretty charming, too, but you go ahead. You tell us what happened.
Evidently, Jack's boss is looking for him because looks like he does live shows.
Yeah, he's like a TV. That's like the only other thing
host.
I knew about Creepers.
Yeah.
He was the host of Jack Ryder was the host of a TV show. I actually think I remember the name of the show. It was called Hot Seat.
Oh,
the
is
Hot
that what
Seat
it is?
With Jack Ryder. Why I remember that? No, I'm not kidding.
They never did that. It doesn't say what the name of his show is. But anyway, his boss is looking for him. He's called him on the phone, can't find him. Evidently, he's supposed to be doing a live show. And his girlfriend / co-worker.
Mm-hmm. Always a good idea.
Yeah. Not. She's like, okay, so evidently they've had some kind of tiff-taff, and she's mad at him, and she's like, well, I don't know where he's at. He's not my problem. So he's trying to talk her into covering for him, basically, because, you know, they can't find him. Because he's fighting the big blob right now.
He's busy.
But I like this part, because she goes to his apartment. I guess she still has his key to get in. and looks for him and finds red hair and thinks that, because she's blonde, thinks that he's changed to redheads instead of blondes, and that really pisses her off.
But only us, the readers, know that that red hair actually belongs
to the creeper.
To the creeper, that's right. Yeah. But she doesn't know that, so she's angrier now than she already was.
Right, so I'm totally assuming she doesn't know anything about his alter ego. So meanwhile, back at the Batcave, we get to see Batman again.
Thank God, somebody we understand. We know what's going on.
He's quite handsome in the comics, I must say. He does kind of look like Ben Affleck there.
You know what? And this is like, gosh.
2006.
Yeah, so we're 10 years out from Batman vs. Superman, and they did draw a pretty Affleck-looking Batman.
He does. He does. Looks like Affleck in this picture.
He is dreamy.
Pause what?
He took some samples from the hatchet that the Axeman told him about in the beginning.
Yeah, he went like...
I didn't say anything about the hatchet, did I?
Yeah, the Axeman told him about that, and he went to the evidence locker, right?
Yeah, took the hatchet, which had red and green blood on it, and ran the blood samples, DNA samples, and there was a match found for red, but not green. And I don't really remember what that means.
Because it was the red blood, if I'm not mistaken, the red blood he was able to match, because that was Jack Ryder's blood.
That was Jack's blood.
But the green blood was like, what the heck, but that's probably Creeper's blood.
Okay.
And that's probably like what's going on here. Like the DNA and the blood is split, and Batman's kind of figured this out. And so he has a good idea who the Creeper is because he did get the match on the red blood, so he knows the Creeper is indeed. Take it, Joy. Good. Spot on. This is good radio, right?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture. I was looking at the next picture.
I think isn't that the last thing Batman says? Like that he's figured out that it's Jack Ryder.
He just says Ryder.
Right, just right. Do your best Batman voice. Ryder.
Ryder.
Nice. For those of you at home, by the way, as I watch Joy flip through this book, she does it, you know, like most people do a magazine, you know, flipping the covers around, folding it back. It would probably kill you to watch this, but it's okay because this is a yard sale found comic book. Later on, I'll teach Joy how to handle comics in Nerd World. But so is that where it ends, or is there just there's a little more, isn't
there? No, it's showing Jack Ryder in the end, still talking back and forth with Creeper, talking about how they got their butts kicked.
Yeah, that monster put a slam on him.
And he's calling him here a giant flesh-eating teenage monster. I guess that's the best way you could describe
giant flesh-eating teenage monster.
Yeah, that's just true, because, you know, every time he ate skin, he got bigger.
There you go.
And he's talking about how they got their butt kicked. Our butts kicked, because, you know, they're talking back and forth to each other. Last thing I saw was his fist coming at my head.
Yeah, that it was weird, because, like, the teenage flesh-eating monster thing, like, body slammed him to the ground.
Right.
And then we cut away to all that other stuff we talked about. And then we came back, like, I guess the monster had just left? I think maybe he just knocked Creeper unconscious and just... thought he was dead or something and left.
I think he knocked him unconscious, and it looks like he kind of floated in the ocean a little bit.
Oh, yeah, because he woke up in the ocean.
Then he came to, and here it's showing footprints where I believe he thinks that looks like the teenager's name was Gav.
Gav. Yeah, he did say Gav a few times.
That's looks right. Like he met up with a friend. So there's two different sets of footprints, it looks like, on the ocean. So Gav is taken off with... who knows who?
If we had to guess, I know who I would guess it would be that he left with. Someone we've talked about but haven't seen. Perhaps the mastermind behind this whole story.
Really?
The infamous Dr. Yates, perhaps.
You think Dr. Yates?
The only person we've talked about that we haven't seen, so that's my best guess.
That's true. I did not think of that.
Best guess. Yes. I don't know. I don't have the next issue. I don't know how this story arc ends.
Well... anyway, that's basically the end. It's the two sets of footprints.
Yeah.
And you don't know who Gav took off with. And it's showing Ryder, and then it shows him as the Creeper.
Yep.
It's the very last thing.
Turns into the Creeper, like the hunt is on.
Standing in the ocean looking at, I'm assuming, Gotham. Is that Gotham?
Yeah, that's what I assumed, too, that the footprints kind of led him to Gotham City.
Right.
And that would explain, you know, we saw Batman earlier, so I'm sure they'll all tie in together.
Right.
So there's your story, ladies and gentlemen, for The Creeper, number 3 of 6, by DC Comics, as told by Joy, with a little help from Jared. All right. So this is where we get into the speculation part. Just briefly, what do we assume from reading the issue? What can we assume happened before this issue, like in number two of the series?
What happened in number two?
If we had to guess. I mean, I know we don't really know. We're just guessing.
See, there's three of six. So in the second one, I'm assuming that whatever happened, whatever Dr. Yates did to him is pretty fresh. Still, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't been the Creeper too long.
Yeah, I know the Creeper's been around. I've known of the Creeper since the 80s. I think he may have even been around since the 70s. So I'm wondering if, like, maybe Jack Ryder, like, somehow got rid of the Creeper. Maybe this guy, Dr. Yates, brought it back out of him or something. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think what happened before this issue is obviously Dr. Yates did something to his whole Creeper Jack Ryder persona, and obviously did something to the teenage kid who is now a blob monster.
Right, which makes me wonder, like, if there's a connection between Jack Ryder and the teenager, or if they're just two.
That's a good question. Well, we may never know, because
two strangers, right?
Yeah,
that Dr. Yates, you know, whatever he did. But as far as I'm thinking, like I said, in the second one, obviously his girlfriend. They had a fight. She's pissed at him. So I'm thinking whatever happened, something that happened in two.
Yeah.
To be pissed. I don't know what happened.
They have
but
split
that
happens.
And I'm thinking the whatever Dr. Yates did.
There you go.
Is still pretty fresh. So that's my guess.
What do you think is going to happen in issue four? Again, we're guessing. We don't know. We don't have the issue. We're just basing off of what we read.
Well, I'm guessing it has something to do with Gotham because that's what it's showing in the last page.
I'm going to agree with you. I think the Creeper is going to end up going to Gotham to find Yats and the monster, and he's probably going to have a run-in with...
Batman. Yes, that would be my guess.
If you want your miniseries to sell, if you're doing a miniseries at DC and you want it to sell and you want more people to read it and give it a chance, you always put a popular character in it to draw more readers in. So they're using Batman in this one a lot of times. They'll use Superman or Wonder Woman.
Batman's a good choice.
Batman's a great choice. He's extremely popular. So those are our guesses as to what happens before and what happens next. In this next segment, I ask Joy about what powers and abilities some of the key characters in the issue have. Now, there's not a lot of key characters to talk about in this one as far as superhero abilities. We've got Batman, and everybody knows his powers, which is no powers, but just really smart, really determined kind of guy. All we really have to talk about is the teenage flesh-eating monster beast and the Creeper himself. So what did you come away with as far as powers go? Let's start with the teenage monster beast.
Well, I think obviously his was the skin. The more skin I eat, the bigger I get. Yeah. So I think that's his superpower. As far as the Creeper, that's a tough one. I think he's just really strong and able to take a lot.
Yeah.
He was able to take on this huge blob monster thing without dying. So obviously he's very strong.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, like I said, I've kind of been aware of Creeper since the 80s in some Justice League comics that I had, and I don't really know his power set either. I get the same feeling as you do. I think he's strong and tough. He looks kind of like agile, almost kind of Spider-Man, jumpy, roundy kind of agile, but other than that, I got nothing.
Me neither.
But it was entertaining. But anyway, that's not for me to decide. That's for you to decide. The next thing we talk about in your breakdown of the issue is terribly confusing moments. Was there anything that you were just like, I have no clue what's going on? During your read-through of the story, it sounded like we all kind of got what was going on, but was there anything that just was like, I have no clue what's going on here?
No, I think I pretty much understood everything.
Yeah, I think you did, because your recap was pretty clear. And that's a sign of a good writer. That you're able to pick up an issue in the middle of the series.
Exactly.
And go, okay, I pretty much get what's going on.
And I love that you can do that. I like that.
Yeah.
You can just pick it up and just totally get into it and understand it.
That is a good thing, because not all comics do that. Oh my gosh, I did an episode with my friend Debbie, and she had to do one in the middle of the Spider-Man clone saga, which, don't even get me started, is so confused. I felt so bad for her. She's like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I don't either. And all the super nerds who read the entire Clone Saga are still like, I still don't know what's going on. So you got a good one as far as story flow goes. Okay, time for you to pick your favorite moment, just your favorite story moment that you thought was either really cool or very charming or very funny. It doesn't matter, just whatever story moment stood out to you.
Yeah, I like the part where the girlfriend found the red hair and got really pissed.
This doesn't surprise me about Joy that she's like the moment.
That's my favorite part.
I think knowing Joy and her husband, Sandy, who's a great guy, the part where the girl gets angry with her man friend, this fits very nicely into what I know. Actually, all jokes aside, that was a really well-written part, and I enjoyed that too. It's always fun when there's a character in the story that's misled by something where we as the reader know, you know, he's not seeing some redheaded girl. That's the creeper's redhead.
Exactly.
But it's always fun when we know something that they don't, and then we have to kind of wait for them to catch up to us.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah, there's a little charm in the story, I think.
It really does. So, we have talked all about the story. We've done exhaustive work into the storyline here. Now we're going to just talk about the art for a minute. This is the fun part where we just kind of step back and look at the pictures. And all comics start in one place, and that is the cover. Joy is looking at it right now. Joy, your thoughts on the cover?
That's what attracted me to this comic, was the cover, with the way he looks. He looks like a really jacked out Joker. I know he's not the Joker, but he has some similarities to the Joker. I just like the, what is the red? Is that hair?
Yeah, he's got like a red mane. Like, it's almost like a mane that a lion would have.
I like that. I dig that.
Yeah. He's got a neat design. It has got a very Joker look. A lot of people confuse the Joker with the Creeper. And Joy says this is why she, quote, she said she chose this book or selected this book. When I initially went over to Joy to ask her if she wanted to do this, I gave her like four books to choose from. And I kind of know her taste, that she likes more kind of creepy, darker stuff. She likes horror films, right, and she likes Walking Dead. So I kind of try to pick books in her realm. And that's why she was saying she picked this one, because like Creeper's like hunched over and looking very menacing. And then you got like just the hand, I guess, of the monster
coming
to grab him.
Right.
And it's really a cool cover. At this point in the show, I always ask the guests, you know, what's your favorite thing? What's your least favorite thing? From my point of view, this ain't Joy's point of view. From my point of view, there's nothing wrong with this cover. But I don't want to, if you got something that you don't like about Joy, then speak up.
No, I don't. I'm with you. There's nothing that I don't not like about it.
Yeah. It pops. It's got a real menacing. It's almost perfect because the Creeper's supposed to be sort of like creepy, but he's also supposed to be a little bit fun, and it really pulls that off.
Yep.
It really does. And that's a hard thing to, I swear though, like Joy said, if you just cut out the head, mm-hmm, you could put it on a Joker body and 100% get away with it.
Right.
No one would ever know.
Right.
You know what? I even like the font of the Creeper, the title font.
Uh-huh.
It goes, it's like a yellow and purple, kind of almost old school horror comic.
Like 80s.
Yeah.
Type
like
thing
80s, like swamp
on
thing,
yeah,
and
yeah,
Tales from the Crypt kind of,
right,
a font.
It sure does.
And I just think it was really neat. So, cool cover. Going to the interior art, just overall impressions. What did you like about it? Anything you didn't like about it? Thoughts on the interior art?
Well, there's nothing that I did not like in this book or in this comic book. I like the whole story, the art. You know, not that I'm an expert, but I really like the fight scenes between the monster blob and the Creeper.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to peek inside your book real quick. This is drawn by Justiniano was the penciler, and Steve Niles wrote this book. I just want to give credit where it's due, because we said a lot of good things about the story and how good it was, so we want to give Mr. Steve Niles his credit. And the penciler on this book was Justiniano. And like Joy said, the book looks great cover to cover. Like, literally, the cover looks good. Everything inside looks really cool. The style that Justiniano brings to this book fits the character really well. I'm surprised I'm not more familiar with his work. It's really, really great. Except Joy didn't have anything negative to say. I read through it, you know, right about the same time as Joy. I don't have anything negative to say. I'm no super successful comic book artist, but I do comic book art, and this guy is on point. I think it looks great. Mm-hmm. I ask every episode, or try to remember, to ask the guest if you could have any piece of original art from this book hanging on your wall, you go to a con, the artists a lot of times will sell the original art they did for the book. It's totally worth it. It's a great art investment. It looks gorgeous hanging on your wall. If you had to pick one page to hang on your wall, Joy, what would it be?
Just one page?
Yeah, just there's a lot of good art in here.
I mean, the cover is really my favorite, to be honest. But
yeah, it is
as far as the inside, I like the, how would you explain this?
There's no page number. She's got it open. Yeah, they don't number the pages anymore. Yeah. She's got it open. It's a double splash page. It's the entire double page of just the blob monster is like leaning in to try to basically eat the writer. Creeper has just retaken over form to save the day.
Right. Right.
And it's sort of like, you know, Jack Ryder's about to die. The monster's coming in. And then in this big splash page, he turns back in the Creeper. And the Creeper's like, what is he saying? Like,
says, ta-da.
Ta-da! Like, I'm here to save the day. It's got fun, you know, because it's like, ta-da. He's being kind of a show-off. It's got a lot of action going on. It fills up double page. Great choice. I totally hang that on my
mind. I just noticed that his feet are pointed. Do you see that?
He has very pointy toes.
I just noticed that.
I didn't even notice until you pointed out either.
Huh.
I mean, in comics, oftentimes the feet are drawn with somewhat pointy toes just to distinguish them, but these are like really pointy.
Yeah, these are just.
These are like if you took those elf shoes that are curled up and just flattened them out, you know?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Wow, I never noticed that. I didn't notice it either until you pointed it out. That's really cool. Very cool. So. We've covered art. We've covered story. The only thing we have left to do is take a quick look at the advertisements to kind of see. This book is now 10 years old. We had a decade-old book, so I asked her to go through and look at the ads and see if there's anything that was sort of memorable to her or anything that Joy remembered from kind of jogged her memory from 10 years ago. And she selected, which ad are you selecting that just jogs a memory from a decade ago?
Yeah, it was the very first one. It was the Family Guy. But it's for a video game.
I am a robot ninja from the planet England, sent here to seek and destroy Mr. Belvedere and all who stand in my way. And I can do both regular chicks and robot chicks. Yeah. Awesome. Hey, you looking for a party? I don't follow the man's rules.
Hey, nurse, can you examine this lump?
Oh, wow!
Right, on the inside front cover, there's an advertisement for the Family Guy video game, and that kind of jogged Joy's memory we were talking about. The show was extremely popular in 2006.
And still going.
So yeah, this was definitely like in that really big boom era for Family Guy. He's got his own video game. And as I was flipping through the book myself, the book, almost all the ads in the book are video game ads. It's at that time in comics where comics really realized how hand-in-hand they went with the video game industry. And I just about every ad in there is for video games. I know there was one for the Justice League video game I saw in there.
Their names are legendary. Wield their powers. Feel their fury. Fight for justice. When the world needs heroes, no one else is in their league. Justice League Heroes. Rated T for teen.
Yeah, there was one for a Myst game. There was one, I think, in the inside back cover was like a Civ game or something similar to a Civ game. Tons of video game advertising in there. Civilization 3, right? There it is.
That's it.
Yeah, so it's all these sort of that PlayStation 2 era. Of all the games in there, have you played any of the games in there, the ads you saw?
Have not.
Because Joy does do some gaming as well.
Just a little bit. No, I have not. I have not played that.
I haven't played any of the games in there except for that Justice League one that was on PS2. Me and my friend Birdman. We went and just played that game like all day until we beat it once. It was a lot of fun. So that's the ads. We've talked about the art. We've talked about the story. We're going to take one more podcast promo break. When we come back, we'll get Joy's final thoughts, her verdicts, and we'll wrap up the show. So we'll be right back.
The Film and Water Podcast, a weekly show about movies old and new, hosted by obsessive movie nerd Rob Kelly and a rotating series of special guests. From sci-fi to horror, dramas to family films, comedies to adventure epics, we watch it all. The Film and Water Podcast is part of the Fire and Water family of podcasts, available weekly at fireandwaterpodcast.blogspot.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
Welcome back from the break. We are going to wrap up this episode of Comics with Normies with my friend Joy's final thoughts on December 2006 issue of The Creeper by DC Comics. It was a six-issue miniseries. She jumped in the middle at number three. So Joy, final verdict on a scale of 1 to 10. How do you rate the entertainment value of the comic you read?
I enjoyed it. Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said, I like the Creeper. I like the way he looks. Storyline was catchy. I'm curious to see, you know, I'd like to know the rest of the story with Dr. Yates.
And that's funny because that's the next question I ask is, you know, scale of 1 to 10. Actually, you didn't give me a number on entertainment.
I sure did.
1 to 10. 1 to 10. Entertainment level.
Entertainment?
Yeah.
Probably a 9.
Oh, high marks then. She gives it a 9. And then the next follow-up question I ask is, how likely would you be to pursue the next issue? Because that's kind of the sign of whether or not a comic is good. Does it drive you to want to read the next issue? And you already said you did.
Right.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm assuming it's pretty high.
Pretty high. 8, 9 probably
area.
High.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 8, 9.
Gave it another 9. Yeah. Too bad I don't have the issue, but I guarantee if I find it at a yard sale, the way I found this one, or if I find it in a quarter bin or a dollar bin somewhere, I'm going to pick it up to find out how it ends, and you bet it's going to go right next door.
Yes.
So, Joy.
Score.
Can find out how it ends. So those are that's Joy's verdict on the entertainment value and whether or not she would seek out more. Any final thoughts, Joy?
No. I'm glad you brought this comic to my attention. I really enjoyed it.
Well, cool. I'm glad that this worked out in a very positive way. I would like to thank Joy for being on this episode of Comics with Normies. We may have her back again in the future, unless she starts reading too many comics and she won't be a normie anymore.
That's right.
But thanks again for being on the show, Joy. We look forward to coming back for another episode of Comic Books with Normies. I have no idea what we're going to pull out of the old yard sale found box next. I have no idea who the next guest is, but you'll be here when it happens. As usual, folks, you can follow the show on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Normies Comics, N-O-R-M-I-E-S Comics, at Normies Comics. Or you can go over to Facebook and find us under Comics with Normies. If you can't get enough of my sweet-sounding voice, you can also find me. I'm the co-host over at whiterocket.podbean.com or on iTunes. You can look for our new show, which is called On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, where myself and Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer talk about James Bond films and anything James Bond related. If you want to just follow me personally, you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist, or on Facebook, where I'm also Yard Sale Artist. So I'll be looking for you on the internet, and you keep looking out for another episode of Comics with Normies. Thanks for being here. This episode's outro music is a jam called Just Wanna. This music and all other sound engineering for Comics with Normies is provided by musical genius Joe November. Be sure to check Joe out on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud at JoseFlin99. That's J-O-S-E-F-L-I-N-99. You won't regret it.
As a reminder, folks, if you have any comments or questions, or if you just want to follow us on the social media, you can follow us over on Twitter at Normies Podcast, N-O-R-M-I-E-S Podcast. You can also follow me personally over on Twitter. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Or if you're more of a Facebook kind of person, you can follow us at Comics with Normies. That's our podcast page. Or you can follow me personally at Yard Sale Artist. Again, questions, comments, just want to be part of the show, let me know. I'm happy to read the comments and the questions that we get on future episodes. Comic book movies and TV shows. What you got for me on that? Do you enjoy going to the comic book movies as they come out now?
Some of them.
Which ones do you like right now?
Okay, so like I like Batman. I like Iron Man.
Everybody loves Iron Man. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are good movies.
Well, you know, it helps that Robert Downey Jr.
You got a thing for him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's dreamy. I give it to you.
Always have.
So, all right, long time fan.
I don't really get into Captain America.
Not dreamy enough, or just the character doesn't appeal to you?
The character doesn't appeal to me.
You know, and it's that way for, it's kind of a divided community. I think Captain America fans, like myself, I'm a Cap fan, are very loyal to it, but I get why because he's so very wholesome. It's kind of a thing when a character doesn't have a lot of flaw.
Right.
It's hard to relate. Like, he's so wholesome and good. It's like, okay. And a lot of people have that same problem with Superman. Like, he's so wholesome and good.
He's almost too good.
It's like, yeah. It's like, okay, he's super powerful. He's a great guy.
But I have Superman was my first crush.
Oh, really?
Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve Superman?
Yes, absolutely.
I also am a big fan, probably not in the same way that you are, you know, as far as first crush, but I'm a huge fan of Christopher Reeve Superman. I think though it's almost like Sean Connery James Bond. I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to compare.
Exactly.
But the guys who do Superman, you know, Brandon Routh, the guy whose name is escaping me right now. I feel so out of my element, not remembering. Some angry fan can write in and remind me.
Well, he's definitely easy on the eyes. I don't remember.
He is dreamy. He's got a great Superman look.
Yes, he does.
He really does. But just something so charming about it, Chris Reeve. It's almost like, I don't know, I'm interested to see if you agree with me on this or not. I think Chris Reeve is so charming because his Clark Kent is like so good. And we haven't even really seen the new version a lot as Clark Kent.
Mm-mm.
But like he was so like befuddled and charming and like goofy.
And always fiddling with his glasses.
Fiddling with the glasses.
Yes.
And then he'd take them off and stand up straight and you're like, whoa.
Wow.
That guy's amazing. So yeah. So you love Superman, you loved the Iron Man flicks, so the Cap doesn't really do it for you. The Avengers probably do because you get some Iron Man, right?
Yeah, they're not really.
No,
so
you like solo stories.
Yes.
I'm the same way. I enjoy solo stories.
And Incredible Hulk was a big deal for me when I was a kid, too.
Oh, yeah, the TV show?
Yes.
Okay. Lou Ferrigno. Did you watch Wonder Woman?
Of course.
Linda Carter.
I wanted to be Wonder Woman, and I also wanted to be the Incredible Hulk. In fact, my mother has a picture of me upside down eating a Pop-Tart in the corner pretending to be the Incredible Hulk. I had the whole muscle, you know, arms all out making the face and everything. I was the Hulk.
You were the Hulk?
Eating a Pop-Tart upside down.
Well.
Yeah. Turning green.
Yeah, oh, well.
I was turning green. I was three. I was turning green.
Probably turning blue or red if you're upside down. But either way, you're just getting angry, you know, with your Pop-Tart and being upside down. So you love the Hulk and you love Wonder Woman.
Right.
I had a follow-on Hulk question, but you totally threw me with the Pop-Tart. And
sorry.
That's right. Oh, were you aware, just out of curiosity, were you aware of the She-Hulk?
Yes.
Okay, so you did know about the She-Hulk.
Yes.
She-Hulk to me is one of my very favorite Marvel female characters. I think she's super cool. But, you know, she never had a TV show. And,
right.
And she didn't really show up in cartoons until, gosh, I think the 90s. But you were aware of her. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted to be Hulk and not She-Hulk.
Right. I wanted to be the Hulk.
You want to go all in on that. So you were really into shows. You like the TV shows.
Yes.
You like some of the movies. Any other favorite movies? You like Superman? You like Iron Man? Anything else? Yeah, you said you like the Batmans.
Yeah, I do.
Did you see Batman versus Superman last year?
I did.
Yeah. Thoughts?
It was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what most people said.
Like you said earlier, I kind of like the one role. That's just too many superheroes in one movie. I need to focus on just one.
Yeah, you're like a solo. Yeah,
just a solo.
I'm really looking forward to Affleck's solo Batman film. I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too.
Very cool. So, TV shows. Have you ever played any superhero video games?
You know what? I have not.
Okay.
Other than, what is it? Because I used to beat the game all the time. What's the one with Mortal Kombat?
Okay.
That's as far as I've gone.
And I'll give you that because they did some Mortal Kombat comic books.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat's a heck of a lot of fun.
I was always Scorpion.
Oh.
That was my character.
Yeah, get over here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I beat that game many times.
I told you, man. Joy is cool. The kids on the bus have no idea. Oh, I don't know if we're allowed to say that you're a bus driver.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
The kids on the bus have no idea how cool you are. So, yes, video games. Oh, I got to get you hooked on the Arkham games then, if you like Batman. The Arkham games on PS3 and PS4.
Yeah.
It's so good. Really? They are really, really good.
Check it out.
A lot of fun. Well, you know, you don't have to go far. They're all at my house. You ever dress up as a Hulk? You gotta tell the folks. Who else did you dress up as?
Wonder Woman. In the infamous underoos in the 80s.
Infamous underoos in the 80s. I thought you were born like 1990?
Yeah, I wish.
She revealed to me that she had Wonder Woman underoos, and that brought back great memories because, like, we're not that far apart in age, Joy and I. So I was like, oh, yeah, totally underoos. Like, I remember having, like, Star Trek underoos.
Yeah, mine were just Wonder Woman.
Spider-Man, I think. I don't remember. You had the Wonder Woman ones. I didn't have the Wonder Woman ones. It was probably for the best.
Yeah, it was probably for the best.
But I tell you what, I loved watching the shows when I was the Wonder Woman TV show, like Linda Carter. And not to be, like, weird or creepy, but, like, she's kind of like when I was like 5 or 6, like, about 5 or 6. She was probably into reruns by then, because, yeah, about that time. But I would watch Wonder Woman, and that's like, and I don't mean to sound weird or creepy like it might, but like, that's when I realized I was like really, I don't know, liked women. Like, I knew I was a straight man because I was like, she is so gorgeous. Yeah, like, and she like really at was that gorgeous. Age, like 6 years old, looking at this woman and going, she's gorgeous. Like, that's, I just remember, like, that was the first one, like, time I can remember looking at a woman and going, wow, you know, that's amazing. So yeah, Linda Carter.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Which is funny because there was I think it was Phil Jimenez was the writer for Wonder Woman comics for many years, wrote some great stories, and he's gay. And I remember reading an article with him, and he said, hey, when I saw Wonder Woman on TV as Linda Carter, that's kind of when I realized I was gay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's funny, because that's when I realized I was very straight. But yeah, so she has an effect on everyone. But yeah, very cool. Well, okay, so that's your experience with TV, movies, and the video games.